is a word that gets thrown about frequently. It's a word that I think our present day culture has become a little bit obsessed with. There are different measures to success. Success has become synonymous with things like identity, wealth, and money and fame. I think success is peace, though. I think success is an inner peace, irrespective of your outward circumstance, that you're able to have peace and happiness, joy, actually, beyond happiness. And beyond that, I think our God wants us to be successful. I think God wants you to win. I think God wants you to be successful in your secular life. I think God wants you to be successful financially. I think God wants you to be successful in your marriage and your relationships. I think God wants you to win. I think God wants you to be successful. What does that look like? Well, I think it can only really, truly be found in Him.
This is the Faith and Life podcast from the W Talk Network. Faith for your everyday life with Toby Olijimi.
Okay, so hi, Devon. Thank you so much for coming on the Faith and Life podcast with the W Talk Network. To all of our listeners who may not know who Devon Franklin is, number one, where have you been? Number two, I will introduce him for you. He is the founder of Franklin Entertainment. He's the author of, this is your third book. Third book, produced by Faith, The Weight with Your Lovely Wife, and now Hollywood Commandments. And you are known for your films. You're an exec. You used to be an exec at Columbia Pictures Sony. And then you left there and then went on to start your own company. You're passionate about faith and entertainment, which is what we're passionate about too. So we already love you. And today we just want to talk to you a little bit about career success, faith and God's way. So thank you so much for taking the time out. Honestly, you're a preacher. You've been preaching all around the world. That introduction didn't do you any justice whatsoever, but please forgive me. I'm sure if people don't know who you are, they'll definitely learn to love you from this.
That's all right. They know who you are. That's all that matters.
So thank you. So you decided to write this book, this third book, and I personally read your first book and absolutely loved it, produced by Faith, in which you used and outlined the stages of film production and aligned it with our life. Now you've gone on and you've kind of talking about faith and career and success in the world, but also in the church. And you've merged these two in a really great way. But one of the things that you said, and one of the things that you note in the book, and it's a fluid conversation, it would be great to have a back and forth on it, is you speak about the fact that you learnt your success not from the church, but from Hollywood. And I know that you've grown up in the church, is that correct? You've been around, you've been preaching in the church, you still do preach in the church, an itinerant minister. But you're also an exec. You're an exec in Hollywood, and now you're a producer of your own company. And you said you learnt your success in Hollywood and not the church. What's your thoughts behind that? What a statement.
I thought it would get some eyes to be raised and some conversation to be started. What I mean by that comment is that in terms of what I do on a day-to-day basis, the success that I've been able to have, you know, in my calling, in my purpose, I learned how to do that in Hollywood. Yeah. And I wanted to articulate that because too often people of faith don't feel that there's a lot of value to learn from secular environments. Mm. A lot of people of faith may get a paycheck from a secular environment, but they aren't necessarily looking behind the paycheck to identify what are the laws, what are the rules, what can I actually take from this environment to help me become better as a person and more successful in my calling and my destiny. And so when I said the church didn't make me successful, Hollywood did, I meant that literally. Yeah. That I didn't learn how to negotiate in the church. I didn't learn how to handle politics in the church. I didn't learn how to network in the church. I didn't learn how to develop scripts in the church. I didn't learn how to make movies in the church. All of these things were things that I learned in Hollywood. By pursuing what God told me to pursue, by having the ambition to go after it and the faith to pursue it and to commit to it, even though people didn't think that was what I should do, even today, people were like, oh, you need to come out of Hollywood and all that kind of stuff. But I had to be obedient. I had to be and I have to be obedient to what God has called me to do, which is to pursue the dream He's put within my heart. And as a result, the success I have achieved to date is directly related to being in Hollywood for 20 years. And that's why I wrote the Hollywood Commandments, was to boil down the top 10 lessons I've learned about success that I learned from working in Hollywood, which can help anyone, no matter what walk of life they're in, become more successful.
That's so good. That's so good. Because, you know, I believe obviously Jesus wants us to have this abundant life, and, you know, having commercial success, secular success is part of that. But if I can, I want to talk to you a little bit about ambition and competition and success in that way. Because the church tends to have this shadow when we use those words like ambition. It's almost like it's a dirty word, or being competitive. And, you know, you've just spoken about the fact that you learned skills of negotiation. I know that's one of your commandments in the Hollywood Commandments, around negotiation. And I suppose being shrewd. Is it wrong to be ambitious? Is it wrong to have that sort of competition against each other? Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts in regard to that? My background is, you know, I just very much like you. I've been preaching since I was 15 years old.
I've also gone
the corporate world. So I was, you know, a commercial attorney in New York Bar. So preaching is fine. But in the corporate world, I'm negotiating. I've got to be competitive. And I am ambitious. I would love to know what your thoughts are around that.
Yeah, I love that. I got to pull up some of your sermons.
Oh, no, don't do that.
I'm going to. I get this question a lot. And so let's just look at our faith. So we from a Christian standpoint, we serve a God who sent his son Jesus to help redeem us so that we would not fall prey to the eternal result of sin, which is death.
Mm, that's good, yeah.
So he sent his son Jesus in order to take human form, to die on the cross, so that we may have the opportunity to have abundant and eternal life, so that death would not have reign over our life permanently.
Yeah.
That's what we believe as people of the Christian faith.
Yeah.
That sounds like, to me, an ambitious God. So ambitious, so competitive with the forces of evil.
Yeah.
That he said, I am going to send my son in order to help my children have access to hope, life, redemption, restoration.
Yeah.
God was so competitive with the enemy that he did the thing that, you know, is the most important, precious thing, to sacrifice his own son for our sins.
Yeah.
So when we say and understand that that's the DNA and the foundation of our Christian faith, how then can we have a problem with being competitive?
Yeah.
Because the very DNA is the DNA of a God who is so competitive with the forces of evil that he sent Jesus.
Yeah, that's good.
So as it relates to our ability and our desire, should we be competitive? Should we want to be the best? Of course. Why else were we created? When you look at Joseph, when you look at Daniel, when you look at Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, when you look at David, these were people that were committed to being the best at what they did as a way to honor God. They weren't competitive for their own ego.
Yeah.
They weren't competitive in order to puff themselves up. They were competitive because they understood that they wanted to put God on display. And I believe that God is put on display when we pursue excellence, when we are competitive, when we pursue God-given ambition. That's when God gets put on display. When we can succeed in an industry and still do it while holding on to our faith. When you look at, you know, basketball, right? Steph Curry, you know, is one of the biggest athletes in the world.
Yeah.
And one of the things that makes him so great and people love is his faith. And he's open about it.
Love it, yeah.
So here you are. He's on the stage, you know, the greatest stage in the world, honoring God. It puts God on a greater pedestal.
Yeah.
So I think that this idea of being competitive and not being competitive is just something that our modern understanding of Christianity has incorporated it, but that doesn't make it a teaching that aligns with the word that we stand on.
Yeah.
So again, ambition for ambition's sake, for ego's sake, I don't believe it lines up with the word. Yeah. But ambition to harness the power of who we are created to be as a way to honor God and put God on display, I think that ambition is completely what we should be doing. Because too many people of faith have said, oh, it's wrong to be competitive. It's wrong to be ambitious. So we're going to lessen our standard of living. We're going to lessen what we think is possible. And then we're going to do our best to be happy with it.
Yeah.
This is why so many people of faith are not happy, because they're not living what God has put within their heart. And so if we serve a competitive God, then I don't think he has a problem with us being competitive, again, as long as our intention is pure and our method of succeeding and our method of competing is integral.
Yeah, so, I mean, so much in it. That's so good. And I know that's definitely going to help a lot of people. You spoke just then about, you know, a lot of people are unhappy because they're not pursuing what's in their heart to do. And that's something you've championed with your cause. And I know it actually resonates with a lot of people in our community here and a lot of listeners. You know, they've got this sort of tension between what they love to do, what they feel they're being called to do. Do you think that, you know, as yourself, like you've gone out, you're more or less preaching through films in a sense. It's just another way of communicating the word of God. Yeah. Do you feel that every single person's call should be matched up to their career?
Do I think every single person's call should match up to their career?
Yeah. So it's what they've been.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
In as often as possible. Yes. I do think that when your calling is aligned with your career, you experience more contentment, more peace, and a general more joyful disposition because every day you are doing the thing you were created to do. Yeah. Is it possible to still have joy and walk in your calling, but your career is doing, you know, your career basically takes care of the bills and outside of your career, you're doing the thing you love? Sure, that's possible. I think it comes down to anyone's individual disposition for that type of balance. Mm-hmm. But when I've seen people be the most successful and the happiest is when their calling and career are aligned because our careers are where we spend the majority of our time. We're not spending the majority of our time at home. Yeah. We're not spending the majority of our time at church. We're spending the majority of our time on this earth in career. Yeah. So I do believe that when that's aligned with our calling, that we have a greater impact, that we are happier, we're more successful, and we are able to make an even greater impact on the lives of others. But is it possible to have that mix? Of course it is.
I want to ask you, one of your commandments is prayer alone isn't enough. And it's a good one. It's such a good one because oftentimes, you know, we pray. And if something's not happening, it only leads to frustration. You know, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Yep. Where did that come from? I know I've heard you share a story about your wife and I'll just love you. I'll let you do it because you're going to do it. But what's the story behind that whole commandment?
Yeah, in the Hollywood Commandments, the first commandment is your prayers alone aren't enough. And I give an anecdote about my wife, Megan, who you can see behind me right here. Mm-hmm. that was a photo shoot we did for Ebony Magazine. And so what was it Ebony? Yeah, it was Ebony. And so in that anecdote, I talk about how she has always wanted to do an action project. And she really, really wants to move in the direction of being an action star, action hero in her career. Mm-hmm. Obviously, she's had an incredible career, been acting since she was 4. Mm-hmm. She's now 36 and her career has been amazing. Yet she really felt in her heart that action was what she needed to do in this next chapter. Mm-hmm. So I talk about in the book how I would come home day after day and I would ask her, did you work out? And she would say no. And she would be there on the couch, you know, watching TV. Sometimes, being honest, she'd be eating some junk food.
We've all been there. Listen, no judgment here. We've all been there.
No judgment. These are just facts. Yeah. These are facts. And so, you know, one day I felt impressed just to have an honest conversation with her. And what I said was, I said, babe, you know, can I just be honest with you? And she said, yes. I said, you know, you want an action hero career, but you don't have an action hero lifestyle. And I said, I believe that if you begin to prepare for what you're praying for, you would get the result that you want. So you get ready in advance of the opportunity as an act of faith. And it's actually practical because when the action role gets offered, you don't have to get ready. You're already ready.
Yeah.
When you walk into an audition, people are already going to see, oh, wow, you know, you're in the gym. You're taking care of yourself. Your physique looks great. Again, she's obviously beautiful. It's not about her feeling more beautiful.
Yeah,
it was about her taking on a certain look that would give her more consideration for acting roles and having more faith that her prayer to be an action star would get answered.
Yeah.
So lo and behold, you know, she took what I had to say and she was quiet, but she took it in. And soon thereafter, I would come home and she would be in workout gear. And I'd be like, what, you went worked out? She's like, yeah, I went and worked out. And she started taking Taekwondo and started doing, you know, her personal training with her trainer. And now she got to the point where she loves it.
Yeah.
And her physique started to change and she started to look like an action star. And then MGM presented an opportunity for her to be an action star in her own television show that we sold to Hulu.
Amazing.
So it was just amazing to see the power of prayer and preparation and what happens when they are combined. And so that was one of the motivating factors in writing this commandment, is because I see so many people of faith, they pray. Great. Prayer is awesome. It's essential. But if we regulate what should be action to our prayer life, then we're going to miss out on what God is doing.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to really talk about that as a way to help people say, okay, how can I begin to prepare? How can I begin to put some works behind my faith? Because one of the things that I have noticed is that so many people live a life of fear.
Yeah.
Very afraid to go after the dreams in our heart.
Yeah.
Very afraid to pursue our calling. So prayer, interestingly enough, can be a mask for our fear.
That's so good.
So instead of doing it, we say, I'm praying about it. Well, you can pray over something God has asked you to do, but he's not going to do for you something that you or I can do for ourselves.
Yeah.
It's a partnership.
Yeah,
it's a combination.
That's so good.
So, Go ahead.
No. I'm just taking that in because that's so good that you can just be praying because you're too scared to actually do it. Yeah.
It's the truth. And it's such a strange way to look at prayer, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, again, I'm not undervaluing prayer.
No,
prayer
is
essential. I pray every day. I pray all the time, you know, to get wisdom and guidance and just to make sure, God, are you leading here? Are you leading there? But it's praying and preparing.
Yeah.
You know, it's praying and doing. You know, I'm taking steps of faith and I'm praying along the way, you know, and that doing is where so many people miss it. I could not pray my way into the knowledge of how to make movies.
Absolutely.
I could not pray my way into the knowledge of how to write books.
Yeah.
I could not pray my way into the knowledge of how to become a more effective speaker.
Yeah.
I had to actually do something to learn those different aspects of my gifting.
Yeah.
So if we only allow prayer to drive us and we don't put action behind it, we are going to miss out on what God has planned for us. And that's why I wanted to write that commandment, to wake people up and then give them strategy on how to get their prayers answered by preparing for what they are praying for.
That's so good. And I know that's just convicted someone's heart right now. So,
Amen.
I know it has.
I pray that it did.
Before you go, I just need to ask you a few more questions. One is, what do you think is the most important commandment you've put there? Do you have a favorite?
The most important commandment? I think they're all important. And I think that everyone is going to relate to one commandment or another based upon what they're going through in their own life.
Okay.
The commandment that always sticks out the most to me is commandment number 9. Your difference is your destiny.
Yeah.
This commandment deeply resonates with me because, interestingly enough, I don't fit completely in the faith-based community, and I don't fit completely within the secular entertainment community. For some people in the entertainment community, I'm too spiritual, and some people in the spiritual community, I'm too secular. So there has been a tendency to want to fit in, and as a result of wanting to fit in, the temptation has been to sand down the edges of my difference just so I can find acceptance in either group.
Yeah.
And whenever I have fallen prey to that temptation, I've done it at the disservice of my own distinctiveness. And God has made us distinctive because he needs us to fulfill a certain purpose in the world relative to the distinctiveness he's given us when we were born. And I believe the more we own that distinctiveness and the more we can harness the power of it and the more we can have the impact we were designed to have. But when we begin to sand down the edges of our distinctiveness just to fit in and find acceptance within any group,
Yeah.
We do it at the disservice of our own peace, our own contentment, and to God ultimately. Mm-hmm. So that chapter and that commandment is all about owning our difference, how to do it.
Yeah.
It's painful. It's difficult.
Sounds amazing.
It sometimes will require us to, you know, to cry while we do it.
Yeah.
Because when we don't fit in, and we feel alone.
Yeah.
It is hard. It is difficult. I'm speaking from experience. Hard to do. Yet, it is rewarding. Because I believe God, you know, he makes one of one. There's no copies in this world.
Yeah.
So when we own it, as lonely as that can be, the end result that it produces is a real sense of achievement, a real sense of purpose, a real sense of peace. Because you get more fulfillment out of owning it. And owning the pain that comes along with it, because the reward is that much greater.
Yeah, that's so, so good. I know it's going to help a lot of people. So thanks for your obedience in doing that.
Yeah, of course.
Can I just ask you what you're learning about faith right now and what you're learning about life right now?
Sure.
In your heart, something that you, I don't know, anything you have to share really.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, I learn about faith every day. Mm-hmm. You know, I am definitely a faith addict. Okay, I am. Every time I don't want to believe, I just come back to believe it. It's just a fact. Faith is just what I live, breathe, and do, because I believe God is who he says he is, and I believe he can do what he says he can do. And every day I am stepping out in faith and believing God for greater things. Even though I'm grateful for all the things that have happened, I still believe that there's something else that is manifesting in my life that will really take me to where God wants me to be. And so I'm learning in faith to trust that, believe it, and not allow my own perception of who I am limit who he knows I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so sometimes my own perception can limit what God's trying to do.
Yeah.
So what am I learning about faith? I'm learning to expand my capacity to believe. I am learning to expand my capacity to trust him and to not put any limitations on anything he wants me to be and anything he wants me to do. And what am I learning about life? I'm learning every day that faith actually works. It really, really works. It just does. So, you know, I know it, but I'm learning every day of how impactful it is. The moments when I'm clear, the moments when I'm peaceful, the moments when I'm happy, and the moments when I'm in real faith about what God is doing, or when I actually see things happen in my life.
Yeah.
When things start to get disrupted, it's a direct relation. Sometimes when I'm discouraged or depressed or I get a moment of frustration, that works against the faith that I have in God and my belief in what he's going to do. So those are two things that I'm learning about faith in life right now. And that's real time.
Yeah,
these are real time answers. And,
yeah,
and this is literally
what
I'm walking through right now.
Yeah, no, I love that. Thank you so much for taking the time. Where can we find you? Where can they get your books?
Yes.
Yes,
they can find me at devonfranklin.com. You can go to my website and you can buy the book there. We have all the retailers listed on my website, everyone from Amazon to Barnes & Noble. You can download the Kindle. You can get the Audible book. You can get it through the iTunes bookstore. Where books are available, the Hollywood Commandments will be available. You can also follow me on social media.
Yeah.
I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter at devonfranklin. So come connect with me. And if you come to the website, you know, you can sign up for my mentor mail. So I mentor thousands of people all around the world every single week by sending out inspirational messages of encouragement that will keep you aligned as you continue to endeavor to receive and fulfill God's purpose on your life.
That's so good. Come on, UK family. Let's back this as much as we can for
Devon.
Thank you so much for taking the time out for coming to speak to us. And hopefully we will connect with you again soon.
I can't wait. Thank you for having me. God bless you. And like you said, I can't wait to connect again soon.
The Faith and Life podcast from the W Talk Network. Faith for your everyday life with Toby Lijimi.